The Hebrew Bible opens with a story about creation. In the beginning, you know it, God created the heavens and the earth, and about a chapter later, we start all over again. On the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, to the last day of my life, I will cherish the memory of a 13-year-old girl in a Sunday school class I was teaching, shouting out, "It's a different story!" when she saw that Genesis 2, compared with Genesis 1, is a different way of telling about the beginnings of things. The story of creation is what I've come to call a twice-told tale. There are dozens of them in the Bible. Abraham travels in one story, travels down to a certain king's estates, and he notices that the king is noticing his wife, Sarah. Fearing that the king will kill him so that the king can have Sarah to himself, Abraham lies about their relationship. "She's just my sister," he says, putting the whole divine plan in threat. And you know what? He does this twice. Twice in two different stories, Genesis 12 and Genesis 20. Further on, Isaac, the son, does this with his wife, Rebekah. A thrice-told tale. God reveals God's name to Moses as Yahweh twice. Moses is wandering. People in the wilderness are given loads and loads of quail to eat in two stories, each one told a little differently. Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the tablets of the law from God in Exodus 19 and again in Exodus 32. Twice. And let's not forget Deuteronomy. Do you know what it means in Greek? Deutero, second, nomi, law. Two laws. The second law, an entire retelling of Exodus in Deuteronomy. In Joshua, entry into the promised land across the River Jordan happens twice. Samuel anoints Saul king, once on his own spiritual say-so and once in front of all of the people. Later it goes on the same with David, anointed once by Samuel at the urging of the Holy Spirit and once on the insistence of the people. First and Second Chronicles are so similar to First and Second Kings that fully half of Kings appear in the Chronicles verbatim. Psalms, many of them, recount the entire story of Israel from beginning to end. Several do that. I think I rest my case. The Bible is full of twice-told tales. Why? Did you ever watch Miracle on 34th Street? Which version? The old one, I hear. Some of you have seen the new one, right? I bet some of you could name a dozen films off the top of your heads that were made in one version when you were young and another one when you were older, right? Why do they do that? I would offer, you probably got the same idea, that the way that you tune in to a really old story differs from the way you give your attention to a brand new one, even if it's a remake. When you sit down to an old movie, a really old movie, you kind of park your expectation of enjoyment in a certain parking space called old familiar story. Won't this be fun? In its particular way. But if you watch a remake, even though you know all the moves, think about Miracle on 34th Street, you know all the moves, your attention is wide open. I wonder how they're going to handle the courtroom scene. I wonder what kind of house they're going to give away. And your attention, you just open. I wonder how they're going to do it. One reason we might summarize to tell a tale twice is that a new generation wants to have its own stars do the oldies. And that is part of the explanation for the Bible's doubles, to wake people up. Deuteronomy was written hundreds of years after the Exodus stories were written, and it was part of a revival. But there is a bigger reason for the twice-told tales. When that 13-year-old girl in my Sunday school class shouted, "Different story." She was noticing something that slips by a casual reading. Some of you know this, I'm sure. In the second story, God has a different name. Genesis 2, God has a different name from Genesis 1. In the first story, he's called Elohim in Hebrew, which we translate God. In the second story, God is called Yahweh, which we usually translate Lord. In many of those Bible doubles I was telling you about a minute ago, this same difference occurs. Elohim and Yahweh. Two different names in two different stories for God. Why? This is very interesting to me, I hope to you. Some of the Bible stories were told twice, not so much to attract different generations, but to attract different tribes. Different tribes who spoke about God using different names and who had their own ways of telling the story that developed over hundreds of years. When those tribes wanted to come together, their priests said, only if we can bring our stories with us, the way we tell them. Including, for example, the way we tell that one about Abraham and Sarah. And so both stories of Abraham's unfaithfulness, you might say, to God's plan are in the Bible because two different tribes had been telling them. Recording two different accounts from the sacred treasury was part of their art of peacemaking, you could say, joining those who were far off with those who were near. It was a very significant union. The Bible as we know it has been edited or completed by teachers who were working like tailors, very discreetly sewing together the stories so that what that 13-year-old girl noticed, boom, goes right by most people. They don't see the interface where the two were sewn together. But now I want you to think about something relevant to the stories we've heard this morning. When a story is told to you for the first time, you're likely to think that it is an account of something that happened. Once when I told this story, why the chimes rang to some children, one child said, "But is that really true?" That's a natural way to hear a story on first reading. It's kind of an assumption. If a friend bends your ear with even a very strange story, you often say, "Did that really happen?" Because you're open to the possibility. But once you have heard that same story unfolded in a slightly different way, something important happens inside you. You realize both stories can't be the facts. Maybe neither. But certainly not both. You begin to say, well, maybe things didn't happen quite this way. Or that way. But I like to hear the story my way. It means so much to me. And you know, I like the other way too. And it means so much to them. Hearing both stories makes us bigger. We are one people. There used to be two, but now one. The gospel stories were also participating in this process of bringing tribes together. This is the really big story behind the Bible's twice told tales. The second telling makes possible a great leap in spiritual growth. In fact, it's a kind of a leap in two directions at once. First, there's this leap. From having had a child's way of believing the Bible stories, you leap deep into the mystery of a truth in God's Word that goes beyond words. And second, you leap into the really human world. A really honest relationship with the way human beings are. A world full of strange differences among people. You stop calling them them. You start using the word we. In Scripture, hearing a twice told tale is a strong sign, as Philippians puts it, that God is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work God's good pleasure. Throughout Advent, as you know, we've been listening to the very opening verses of the four Gospels. What did Matthew and Mark and Luke and John choose to say at the very beginning in order to open an ancient heart or mind? We heard Luke today. Luke knew the Hebrew Bible, as did Matthew and Mark and John, extremely well. Luke fairly tips the Hebrew scriptures over like a giant jug of joy. He pours twice told tales all over us. And he brings us today Zechariah and barren Elizabeth, the way the story is told. They didn't have any idea why a couple were infertile, and they always said it was the woman's problem. But with the barren woman, instantly Luke brings us to Sarah and Abraham. Immediately we are at that first opening of God's family in Genesis 12. Then he adds details from the temple, and he speaks about how the child will be a Nazarite who will not drink strong drink. And this takes us instantly into awareness of Elkanah and Hannah, whose child also would be committed to drink no strong drink and to live in the wilderness. Are you ready to leap two directions at once? Here we go. Hannah is going to become mother to Samuel. Elizabeth is going to be mother to John. Samuel, you remember who he is. He anointed David as king. And for this people, the Jewish people, David has been the great king. But now we have a story of a new announcer, John. John will announce the new king, Christ the king. The story of the birth of John is a tale told twice for the same great purpose that we have found throughout the Bible tradition of story doubles, namely to bring two tribes together. For if Zechariah and Elizabeth are the new Abraham and Sarah, then God is starting another family. It's like a widower who marries again and has a new family, so that his new children can play with his first children's children. It really is about uniting Gentile and Jew. A new family is starting. And if our Zechariah and Elizabeth retell Elkanah and Hannah, then John's confident proclamation of Jesus means that Samuel's proclamation of David the king is not over yet. The true king is coming to life anew. This is what those original hearers heard. If that can be, then the old kingdom, whose gates were shut, must not be the only kingdom. A new king has come to a new kingdom, and the borders are open. A new king is welcoming immigrants and outcasts like us. That is how the early hearing went. There is a dwelling place for God, after all, with us. See, these twice told tales hew close to the old tales because riffing on the old melody proclaims peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near. Now, you know, it may seem too easy just to shout that God is at peace with all humanity. Is it so? But how will I know that it is so? Says Zechariah to the angel. Say we to God. Is it so? Is peace coming? In the instant we say that, if we let this story be told yet again, freshly. God's messenger pronounces judgment on our disbelief, which shows up in our wars. Our disbelief shows up in our rape of the earth. It shows up in the homelessness and hunger and hate we tolerate. It shows up in the boredom and blame in our marriages, in the children who are tossed like rag dolls onto rubbish heaps of violence and poverty. Our faithlessness shows up in the world's sorrow. Can you hear the angel speaking against our faithlessness, saying, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news of God's release. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." How stark, how true this telling of the old tale. It's a diagnosis of the silence of the church. Do you know how to tell the good news of God's peace so that any who are far off can really hear it? Or are you mute, more or less, as a Christian? In America, over the last many years, I would say the church was mute in matters that matter. Not a word was heard louder than a whisper as torture was committed in our name. Not from the churches. Not a sound was spoken against the fattening of the rich. The minimum wage was stuck for 9 years at $5.15. And the churches? Quiet. Why has the Protestant church withered like an old fruit? Is it mute? Are we mute because we have not believed the angel's word? Let us try out a diagnosis from the scriptures. When the people of God do not see and trust the peace of God, they don't have anything to say to the world outside. And they wither. But when they do see, when they allow that vision to grow inside them, then they can no longer be mute. So you also can see what is happening with the twice-told tale. Great indeed is this mystery of the leaps of faith. As soon as a story is told twice, the seal is broken on the literal truth. The spell is broken. The Spirit of God is on the loose, waiting, seeking, looking for the next way that the wisdom of this story is going to be told anew. As long as Christians remain stubbornly ignorant of the Hebrew Bible, they can dumb down their faith and pretend that the baby Jesus stories are all new stories, real factual stories. They can go on pretending that the Christmas stories are just reports. And for that, look at what we get for that belief. We get Jesus under control, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, little, quiet, powerless. This Jesus in swaddling clothes has no arms out for the world, no arms out for the cross, no body. No wonder there's nothing to say. Burst that story wide open into a story of Christ being born in yourself. And then life comes. Once you hear the tales told twice by Luke, childish believing drops like scales from the eye. The Spirit of God sends you into the world with one word on your heart, which is, "How can I tell this tale again? Not in the old way, which nobody really listens to. Now, how can I tell this tale in a new way to bring together those who are once far off with those who are near? How can I tell the tale of what God has done from the beginning twice? Once from the book and once from my life. Until you see these things, you will be mute. Meanwhile, writes Luke, the people were waiting outside, wondering at the delay in that sanctuary. Let's sing a song.